gathered together to celebrate the family of God. We are all members. Let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Yesterday. She probably won't even like it.
Yes, she will. Will you?
ugly Mother's Day card.
Come on, it can't be that bad. Here, let me have it. You're gonna give your mom that?
Oh, thanks, guys, for all the encouragement.
Willie! Oh, Willie!
Oh, there's my mom right now.
Willie!
I'll be right there, Mom. Well, I guess I may as well get this over with.
Good luck, Willie.
Your mom, happy Mother's Day.
For me? Why, thank you, Willie. That was so thoughtful of you. Let me have a look. Willie?
Yes, Mom?
About this card.
Yes, Mom?
I think it's just beautiful.
Aww. Really? You like it?
I sure do.
Wow, Sammy and Susie didn't think it was very good.
Well, that's probably because they don't have special eyes.
Special eyes?
That's right. You see, in order to truly appreciate the beauty of a masterpiece such as this, one must experience it through the eyes of a mom.
Eyes of a mom?
That's right, really. And when I look at this card, I see the handiwork of a young, budding artist.
An artist? Really?
Really. And upon further examination, I can see you put your whole heart into creating this work of art.
Yeah, I did that already.
Thank you, Willie. I'm so pleased. And I'm going to take this to the refrigerator right now.
Aw, gee, thanks, Mom. And Mom?
Yes, Willie?
I love you, Mom.
I love you too, son.
Excuse me. Make way for a young, budding artist.
Oh, Mother, now we're going to have to hear about this all day long.
You can count on it.
Yeah, we better end this game before Van Gogh here starts
getting bigger than he already has.
No.
Happy Mother's Day, Moms.
Together on this beautiful Sunday morning as we celebrate Mother's Day together. We want to worship the God who gives us the women in our lives. We also acknowledge that Jesus was very intentional about redefining the understanding of family from the genetic to the spiritual. Whether it be when he said to his disciples, "Here is my mother," or when he said from the cross to the beloved disciple, "Here is your mother," he reminds us that in God's family, all are spiritual mothers to us, and we want to give thanks for all the women. Later in the service, we will especially recognize all women of our church. Even those who are gathered here together today, we have a special gift for you, something we want to share to remind you that We appreciate you as women of God who seek to offer spiritual guidance to our children, to our grandchildren, and to even us big kids as well. And we give you thanks for that. Today, as we worship, would you recall a spirit of thanksgiving for all of those women that God has placed in your life to keep you together, to get you dressed in the morning, to remind you of those important markers of life, to be there to guide you in the ways of the faith.
This morning, our opening scripture passage comes from a very special and probably memorable scripture from Proverbs chapter 31. I'll be reading verses 10 through 30. A capable wife who can find, she is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She's like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from far away. She rises while it is still night and provides food for her household and tasks for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid for her household when it snows, for all her household are clothed in crimson. She makes herself coverings. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the city gates, taking his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She supplies the merchants with sashes. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her happy, her husband too, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and give thanks for those mothers in our lives. In you, O God, every family on earth receives its name. Illumine our homes with the light of your love. We thank you for gifts of love we have received from our mothers and those who have served as mothers in many ways, nourishing us and guiding us as we grow to be who we are. As we have been loved by them, so we are loved by you, O God. Join with us in this day of celebration as we rejoice in being loved. As you grant us peace in Christ Jesus our Lord, so we come to you this day and worship in his holy name. We lift this prayer in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please stand, if able, in singing our hymn of praise, I worship you, Almighty God, how great thou art. Please stand.
Thank you.
This morning I want to announce and remind you that this Tuesday will be our quarterly senior adult luncheon here at First Baptist Elon. This is something we've done for many, many years. And this Tuesday will be a time to gather around the table at 11:30 for a lunch, baked potatoes and salad and dessert. And as a part of this, we are going to have a special singing group with you, which I wanted to share with you this morning. The group Mercy's Well, and this is a picture of the three guys, is a trio based out of Greensboro. They've been together, this group, this trio has been together for a couple years now, and they are going to be coming to sing and share their gift of music with us. They have sung in many different churches around the area, and actually the church right down here from People's Memorial, they called and said, you've got to get this group to come and sing at your church. And so we are blessed to have these three men with us on Tuesday, and we want to invite everybody. Now, it says senior adult lunch, but I will be there, and I may think like a senior adult sometimes. I am not quite there yet, but we will have a group that will be here, and I want to invite everyone to come. So it is not too late to sign up. If you would like to come to this luncheon, there is a sign-up sheet in the Communication Center. As you leave this morning, please write your name down so we have enough food. But you will truly be blessed by this group coming to sing Mercy's Well. We will be taking up a love offering for them at our luncheon on Tuesday. So please, please, please come and be a part of this wonderful luncheon on Tuesday. Again, it starts at 11:30, 11:30 to 1 on Tuesday. Thank you.
All right, children, come on down. Come on, Rachel, Emily, come on. Diamond, Adeline, come on. Come on, Langston. Luke. All right. I'm going to describe somebody, and I want y'all to tell me who I'm talking about. This person cooks for you every day. This person picks out your clothes every day. This person helps you with your homework probably every day. This person makes up your bed, maybe not. Person cleans the house probably every day, or maybe once a week. I don't even do it once a week. This person probably prays for you every day. Who am I talking about? Mom, what is today? Mother's Day, that's right. Well, you know, in the Bible, Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, the Bible talks about our moms. And it says this, it says, children, obey your parents. This is right. Honor your father and your mother, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. There's three words that really stick out in that verse. The first one is obey. How many of us obey our parents? Now, let's don't lie in church now. Let's don't tell stories in church. You do? I go, ooh, good for you. You get a star in heaven. All right? Yeah. All of us obey, don't we? Yeah, we try to obey. Sometimes we don't always obey, do we? So obey means what? Do what? What should you do? Do what you're told, right? You know, when I was in church, and I was like y'all, and I grew up in a very small church, about 20 people in church, and I didn't always act too good in church. And my daddy wore a suit like these young men back here did every Sunday, and he carried inside those suits, I don't know, I mean, you know, there's a pocket, right, guys, inside your suit? He carried a switch in that suit, but just for me. Because I couldn't sit still, and y'all could tell I can't stand still up there. And so every time I start acting up, he'd open up that coat pocket, coat. I'd settle kind of back down. But so he carried that. So it says, obey your parents. Do what they tell you to do. The second word that stands out in that is honor. So what should we do? When your mom or dad tells you to do something, you should do it right then, shouldn't you? Not couple minutes later or 5 minutes later, we should do it then. Even my daughter now, I tell her to do something, it takes her an hour later to do it. And she's 26. So we should honor our parents by doing it then when they tell you to. And the next thing that stands out is go well. In some Bibles it says, different translations, I can't remember exactly, Mason, David, y'all. But in this translation, it says go well. But it means we should live a good life and grow up to be good boys and girls. So now I got a couple questions. I want y'all to tell me if it's true or false on these questions, okay? Adeline, come over here, baby. Come over here. It says, doing what mom tells you right away. Should we do that, true or false? True. All right, the second one, throwing a fit if you don't get what you want. False, that's right. All right, the third one, complaining about what mama cooked for supper. False. All right, how about telling mom that you love her? True. Praying for your mom. True. Telling people that your mom is not nice. False, that's right. Okay, now, in honor of all of our ladies in our church, I want y'all to take a flower and all the ladies, please stand up. All ladies, please stand up. All the ladies, young and old, please stand up. And our kids and some of the youth are going to hand out flowers in honor of all of you. All right, everybody grab a flower. Come here. Everybody take a flower and come back and pass them out. Give everybody in the church a flower, okay? Go. Start a choir everywhere. You can take more than one, and so you don't have to make so many trips. Once you get your flower, you can sit.
Some on the other side.
We still got any standing? Everybody in the choir got one? Becky,
I got one.
Okay. Okay, is that everybody's gotten a flower? All the ladies in the church? Okay, well, okay, thank you. Thank you, children. Thank you. Okay, now, that's something I came across this week, and I wanted to read it to y'all. And then we're going to do one more recognition. Oh, thank you, David. Y'all can have a seat now. Go back to your parents. a couple things. This is something I came across that it so fits me, and I'm sure it fits some of you, too. What my mother taught me. My mother taught me about anticipation. You should just wait until your father gets home. My mother taught me about receiving. You should know what you're going to get when you get home. My mother taught me about to meet a challenge. What were you thinking about? You should answer me when I talk to you. Do not talk back to me. My mother taught me about medical science. If you don't stop crossing your eyes, they're going to freeze that away. My mother taught me to think ahead. If you don't pass that spelling test, you'll never grow up and get a good job. My mother taught me about humor. When that lawnmower cuts your toes off, don't come running to me. My mother taught me how to become an adult. If you don't eat all your vegetables, you'll never grow up. You'll always be a kid. My mother taught me about genetics. You're going to be just like your father. My mother taught me about wisdom of age. If you don't understand me, hold on. You would understand me only when you get to be my age. And this is my favorite right here. And my mama told me this, and it was so true. My mother taught me about justice. One day you're going to have kids, and I hope they turn out to be just like you. Only will you see what it was like.
They did.
Okay, now one more thing we're going to do. And I used to do this in our church in Demopolis, in Alabama, and I wanted to start this here.
We want to recognize the oldest mother. So if all the mothers would stand up, please. And we're going to narrow it down till we get to the oldest mother. So if you are 30, please sit down. If you're 30, all right? If you are 40, please sit down. If you are 50, please sit down. All right, we're getting some down. I need to sit down. If we are 60, please sit down. All right, how about 70? All right, how about 80? All right. I'm in the choir. Oh, come on now, Miss Codell. You already told me to stand up. No, all right, we're 80. And we're going to start going by ones now. How about 81? Am I missing anybody? All right. All right.
Man, I don't have to tell them my name.
No, you don't have to tell them how old you are. Now that bag might break.
Thank you.
All right. So here's our oldest mother that's telling her age anyway. All right.
Father, as we begin a new week, accept our thanks for every good gift you have given us, for our bodies, for our minds, and our souls, and accept our gifts for your kingdom work. Bless this church family as we worship you today. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see you. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our hearts, Lord, we want to receive your word and be drawn by your love and moved by your spirit. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
words from Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Let us pray together. Lord, we lift up to you those who on this day are celebrating, but celebration mixed with pain. We lift up to you those who have lost their mothers, those for whom today will be a day to remember someone who has gone on. We lift up to you, Lord, those who have never married, celebrating that they are complete in you and not in anyone else. We lift up to you those who have never had children and give you thanks for the way they have mothered so many countless others, generations coming through the church. We lift up to you those mothers who are with us as well. Who are with us, we give you thanks for that. We pray that you would continue to strengthen them and encourage them and fill them with grace. Lord, we pray that we would all learn from the blessing of womanhood, the power and the strength and the dignity that comes with that. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
don't know if you're aware of this or not, but Mother's Day is kind of a big deal. We make a pretty big deal out of it, don't we? What's that?
They're big deals.
They are big deals. You cook for mom. You make breakfast in bed for mom. You buy mom presents. And what do we do for Father's Day?
Nothing.
But that's okay. I've never minded that at all. I'm pretty easy to please. I was telling my family yesterday, it occurred to me that my childhood punishments have become my adulthood life goals. You go take a nap. Whew. You're not going to leave the house all day today. Great. And you're not going to talk on the phone at all. Super. So my childhood punishments have now become my adult rewards. But I'm easy to please. But mothers deserve the respect and the honor and the celebration that they get. And as I was thinking about this Mother's Day message, a mother came to my mind in the Gospel of Luke. And this is normally a passage that's read at Christmas, and so it might strike you as a bit strange to read the Magnificat, Mary's song or her prayer, her spontaneous prayer in the presence of Elizabeth. But to me, this is very relevant for a number of reasons, and it exemplifies Mary as a person. And Mary certainly exemplifies what it means to be a good woman of faith, a daughter of the Most High. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, in verse 46, at the revelation or the epiphany that she is carrying the child of God, of the Most High, and we know that John the Baptist inside of Elizabeth's womb leaps with joy at the presence of Messiah. And so this sparks Mary to offer this prayer. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and his descendants forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. Now, I am not typically one for preaching multi-part sermons. Usually I like to just make one point, and I'm good if I even do that. But this particular passage seems to lend itself to several very distinct points about the character of Mary as a woman of God, as a daughter of the Most High. And it's something that I think is worth wrestling with, that she demonstrates through this spontaneous prayer that, first of all, she is a praying woman. This lady can pray. She lifts up this spontaneous expression of prayer to God in the presence of her friend, her cuz there in her home. And what's interesting about it is, on the one hand, it is spontaneous, but it's also rooted deeply in biblical history. As we know, of course, she is echoing Hannah's prayer from the Hebrew Scriptures. I think that this is important to note about Mary, because prayer, especially public prayer, is something of a lost art in our postmodern culture. 50 years ago, not only could you just say, "Would someone like to pray?" you could probably call on people to pray, and they would not hesitate to offer one. Today, in a Sunday school class, ask, "Would someone be willing to pray?" and everybody does what I call the dropped my pencil technique. Everybody looks down. Don't make eye contact. I'm not here. I'm invisible. But the art of praying, public prayer, heartfelt, biblically based, yet extemporaneous prayer, is something that Mary does so beautifully. And we could all be challenged by the fact that she is a praying person. And in this prayer, what does she reveal? She reveals that she is not only a praying person, but she is a thoughtful woman. She is a person who thinks about the way of the world, and not just the way things are, but she considers how things ought to be. I look at lines like, "He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly." That is a deeply theological sentiment about the nature of God's justice, the nature of God's promise. She knows the promises that were given to Israel, to Abraham, and counts on God to fulfill them. Mary reminds us that to be a daughter of God means to think for yourself, to not rely on some preacher or some favorite author or your latest study or book to tell you what to think and believe, but to think deeply about life. I guarantee you, there was no preacher, no rabbi, no theologian telling Mary that God was going to and should turn things upside down in the coming of Messiah, and that he would consider the lowly and the poor and the broken. But she thought of this. She is theologically sound. And in this act of being a prayerful woman and a thinking woman, she also proves to be a humble woman. I think that if someone told me that God had specially chosen me for an incredible earth-changing task, I might get a little bit of a big head. In fact, I know that the ego would grow, the pride would swell, and yet Mary considers herself lowly, considers herself humbled by this news, that she does not take credit for her chosen status. She says, "For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant." She understands that if anything good is happening in her life right now, if anything amazing is about to be done through her, that it is God who is the source of her greatness, not herself. As a godly daughter of the Most High, Mary teaches a very poignant message about the nature of humility. Humility that's not false, but comes from a spirit of thanksgiving. Mary demonstrates in this prayer the very nature of being thankful. "For the Mighty One has done great things for me." That line tells it all about her humility, but the source of her humility indeed being that spirit of thanksgiving. If you know someone in your life who is successful, who is happy, who is well-balanced, consider this. Is that person typically the type of person who grumbles and complains and lists what they do not have and what they do not get and talks about how awful life is? Or is the person who is happy and successful and well-balanced more likely to be someone who gives thanks, who appreciates what they have, who acknowledges the source of all that is good in their life as the Almighty? I think that on this Mother's Day, we are challenged by Mary to rethink what defines us as successful people. And she demonstrates through this prayer that she indeed would be someone who would be a praying person, a thoughtful person, a humble person, and a person capable of giving thanks. But layer that on to the reality of Mary's life. She did not have it easy. Life was not all roses for her and cotton candy. Life would turn out to be, from this moment on, even harder than it already was for this poor, young peasant girl. That Mary would go on to lose a son and the sting of that loss. Mary, we are not told what happened to her husband, but we certainly don't hear about Joseph after Bethlehem, do we? This has led many to speculate that Joseph either died at a very young age in the life of Jesus, or perhaps even Joseph left Mary over the stress. But one way or another, it is clear from the rest of the gospel that Mary seems to be on her own, a single mother, faced with poverty and obstacles in every direction that she turns. And yet, we see in the gospels that all the way to the cross and to the grave and beyond, she remains faithful. She remains the servant and the daughter of the Most High. I cannot help but think that we are shown in this prayer the source of that faithfulness and that strength and that integrity to endure such loss and struggle in life. Again, she prayed, she thought, she was humble, and she was thankful. This is a challenge not just for you women in the congregation, certainly not just for the mothers of the church, but indeed we men could learn an awful lot from a woman as strong and as faithful as Mary. Would you pray with me? God, help us to be like Mary. Teach us to be like her. Challenge us by her life and her faithfulness. And help us to see the ways in which we can embody that same spirit that she wore so beautifully every day of her life. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. We want to invite you to respond to God's word on this Mother's Day Sunday as we sing together our hymn of response, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Please stand if you are able. Strength for the journey and hope for the way. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.